Hello again. This is Charlie Belfonte. You're listening to the Home Buyers Hour on WCPT AM 820. And we're in the studio. We have no idea what we're going to talk about today. So we're just going to make stuff up. Enjoy it. But we do have Steve Davis. He comes on quite often with us, and the whole idea is to turn everything into educational sessions. Patrick Loftus and Joey are with us as well, and I'm going to first start off with Steve. If you don't mind, give us an introduction, and how do people get hold of you?
Sure. Steve Davis. I'm with the Kamar Group, and I'm with Real. My number is 312-513-6314. You can reach me on Instagram, which is going to be I'm Steve Davis.
I like that. And Patrick, please.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is time for the Home Buyers Hour with the four of us. We are fun. Join us for some fun. Join me on social media. You know, I'm not always broadcasting, but when I'm not broadcasting, you can find me on Instagram at Loftus_Law, or find me on TikTok, where you can have just a fun old fight in my comment section at Loftus_Law.
That was like Joey
and everybody combined
together.
Same
time.
Right?
I mean, it was.
And I just
want
to say that the views of WCPT do not always reflect the views of Patrick Loftus of Loftus Law. And with that being said, I know I just got a malarkey play. My name is Charlie Belfontaine, and I own Chicagoland Home Inspectors. Our phone number is 312-544-9180. Again, it's 312-544-9180, and our website is thehomeinspectors.com. Any questions whatsoever, even if you're looking at a house now and you want to see if something's an issue, please don't be afraid to ever reach out. I'm willing to help anybody, especially before the contract is signed. I do what I can. Joey, your turn, and then give us what's going on in the market as well, please.
Why, hello. My name is Joey Matthews, the VA Loan Nerd. You can find me at thevaloannerd.com. Feel free to check me out on social media across all of them. It's @thevaloannerd. You can call or text me at 630-235-2405. Can't wait to hear from you.
It's weird.
In the market!
The way I feel right now is like...
Joey, what's going on with the market? Nice. I'm curious.
It's nothing nice whatsoever. Inflation came in hot today. Shocker, right? That is, 4 months in a row it came in a little bit above expectations. So our 10-year Treasury yield has jumped about 13 basis points from the open, and our mortgage-backed securities are significantly down. They are getting battered about 60 basis points, which is terrible for pricing. But hey, that is the world that we live in. I don't expect it to be terribly long-lasted. The Federal Open Markets Committee meeting minutes get released at 1 p.m. Central Time today, Wednesday, April 10th. And I think... If the minutes were a little bit more dovish, if they're still talking about this 3 rate cuts, then we will see. We'll gain at least half back of what we lost this morning.
I love me some meeting minutes.
Yeah, and I'm always a dummy of the group. What does that mean to me as far as mortgage rates or inflation?
Staying high.
Staying higher for longer.
Staying higher for longer, so they're not going to cut.
We don't know yet. There's expectations are all over the place. There's people like, oh yeah, they're still going to cut 3 times this year because they don't want to, you know, risk deflation. They're still going to cut 2 times. They're going to push back the initial cut beyond July or June, maybe into September. There's some people that are like, dude, this is a market that looks like it's moving towards another rate hike. So opinion is all over the board. What I can say for sure is buy more real estate, because they're not building enough fast enough for you. So it is not a protected asset. It is an asset that will continue to appreciate over time. If you can afford to buy and you love a house, you buy the freaking house.
I forgot who said that, but yeah, it's like buying land, they're not making it anymore. Was that Joey Nasodomus?
I mean, that's been something I've heard since
buying
forever.
More land, yeah. Buying more land is a totally different thing. Yeah, they're not making any more land. I mean, they need to make new houses.
Well, it's not necessarily true. I mean, and, you know, on Hawaii, for example, the volcano erupts and new land happens. So there.
Yeah, okay. Go. That's what we're going with.
I'm going to buy me some brand new volcano land. They're selling that for a good price.
No, today hasn't been a great day for the mortgage rate market, and that's okay, because that's just the way the world works. Up and down, up and down. The roller coaster continues to roll.
You know, these macroeconomic indicators, I feel like there's a disconnect because there's a lot of people out there who are experiencing some difficult times. And, you know, for example, Joe, you've talked before about how the job numbers are really strange. They're coming out completely massive and completely massive. They're coming out super high and then they get revised down like a crazy amount.
For BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, for their numbers, part-time jobs and full-time jobs, they all count as one job, no matter what. Mm. So whether you're working 10 hours a week or 40 hours a week, it's still one job. So that's a big thing, is that a lot of part-time labor is coming out. A lot of people are taking on second jobs. So I think, I mean, in my eyes, we are on this path towards a soft landing, they keep saying, but I think we're actually going to have something potentially worse happen. When we do see one, obviously credit cards continue to be used, like significantly overused. And when all these bills start coming due and people can't afford them, that's when we're going to see issues.
Yeah. But at the same time, as far as people using credit cards, that's the only way they can survive right now. So, and then credit card companies are just charging ridiculous, you know, interest.
That's always been the case. And, you know, I'm hearing things, and let me just put on my tinfoil hat for a moment. But, you know, when you talk about jobs, available jobs, I've heard things, you know, to the extent where it's like companies are posting jobs to drive traffic to their website so that they can rank higher. You know, with no intention. What? So you post, you know, tinfoil hat stuff here. You post a job on LinkedIn or Indeed, one of these places, and you know, people click on it. And so let's say you get a thousand people interested in this one job because it's a nice looking job. That drives them to your website, and then Google likes that, especially if you're filling out an application or applying for a job. You're going to be on that website for a while. And that's something that also is, you know, gives a smiley face to the Google algorithm and, you know, thus making your website appear higher in the rankings and when people search, which is really, I mean, if you're that desperate to drive traffic to your website, I mean, I guess, but, you know.
Ouch. I got to tell you right now, I resemble that remark.
Well,
all right.
Resemble that remark? I mean, gaming the system
resemble
like that.
It.
Oh, you resemble
I
it.
I use
it's
the
both.
Words I meant to do. I do exactly that
and then let me
help
get,
with our business.
Let me go one level deeper on this tinfoil hat stuff. Now, you know, you've got 1,000 people that applied for your job, so to speak. Now you've got 1,000 email addresses, and now you can sell that data or you can use that data to market to these people. If you're looking for a cheap and easy way to develop an email, a list of emails. So, you know.
And let me just jump in and say that really does make a difference because, you know, my business is mostly marketing direct to consumers. And so getting listed high up on the search engines help people find you. If they can't find us, they can't hire us. So what we do is I put all my training videos up on our website and they watch it through, even though they're posted on YouTube, they can watch it through our website. We actually have a test for home inspectors to find out what they know and don't know, and we leave that free all up on our website. So if anybody wants to learn about the business, we do that there. But yeah, I'm gonna confess, I don't do it, you know, well, I like to help other people because of karma, but I really do it for that traffic and the time on the site, and it really does make a difference.
Yeah, and look, let me draw a distinction here because I think this is important. I'm not comparing you to someone that is posting a fake job. They have no intention of
it's honestly
filling.
Important.
Right. So you know you're doing it with right intention. You know, if the Buddhists would favor your approach to the approach of one of these companies that's doing this, but you know, it leads me. So let's try to close the loop here. It's leading me to think that must have some impact, if you know, and I don't know how much on these job numbers that get posted and then they get revised down a crazy amount. And I have to imagine the Fed is taking these things into consideration. They can't be completely ignorant of that fact. I mean, you know, again. If you keep the high interest rates, and you know, what do you favor? Do you favor getting the inflation down to where you need to, or do you favor loosening up the tight control of the money supply?
I don't know, Joey. What are we supposed to do? How do I save the world?
If I had to answer that question, I would be a part of the Federal Open Market Committee.
Well, I nominate Joey Matthews, the VA loan
man. I nominate him as well.
I third it.
Let's go. Oh,
I got a quick question for Joey. Joey, I heard through the grapevine that the VA, so we know that the...
don't get into this one yet. We don't know where it's going.
I want you to...
People are saying it can be rolled into the loan. Is that where we're going on this?
Yeah. Well, I heard that the VA... So let me paint the picture really quick. So... Yeah. When the NAR settlement takes effect, they're no longer going to be posting the broker co-op, or in other words, what the buyer's broker would receive out of the commission being paid to the seller broker, that's no longer going to be posted on the listing. And the speculation is that's going to lead to lower broker co-ops, which if there is a difference, let's say the broker co-op is 1% and you agreed with your agent, they're going to pay them 2.5%. Now you owe your agent somehow, some way, 1.5%. As it currently stands, it is against, if you're getting a VA loan, you are not allowed as a buyer to pay anything to your agent. So that's going to become... those two things are at odds, and I had heard that the VA was already discussing modifying that policy to match what is likely to happen, or what people think is likely to happen. Is that true?
Yeah, I can't say what the VA is doing. So they usually have a lender guarantee conference in May every year. They haven't even announced it this year, and I know that a big reason that they haven't is because they've been waiting to see how this all shakes out. I am very interested. I will be there. I will be at the conference because I know that we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about trying to get this whole lead paint thing taken out because, homes built before 78. I mean, if they haven't been remodeled, I mean, come on. Get out of here. Anywho. So,
I mean, you convinced me. Get out of here.
What is going to happen? I can't even begin to speculate because there's just so many potential directions that it could go. I think they have to do something, right?
I mean,
they're absolutely going to. I mean, in the 1% cap, like, that's got to go too. I mean, there's so many things that have to go that, you know, are still in place right now. So
you've got to put veterans on an equal footing with other buyers. I mean, that's the bottom line, in my opinion.
Exactly. And that's what the goal of the VA is.
Or a better footing.
So I'm going to chime in here. So as far as no matter what, how this goes with NAR, the fact is that buyers brokers need to get paid if they're doing the job. And
no doubt.
And the fact is, whether it's a VA situation, whether it's a regular loan, conventional, FHA, whatever you want to call it, there is going to be something somehow where there needs to be some sort of payment from the buyers to the buyer's broker, or from the sellers to the actual buyer's broker. So I heard something, it was a couple of days ago, I thought this was interesting. They said, the best way you can handle this situation is this. If the property is worth $500,000, you put it at $490,000, you get multiple offers, you jack that price up, and you're playing with the buyer's money anyway. In other words, if they're now paying $540,000, then you're not going to have a problem paying the other side because you made more money anyway. But if you don't, that's like kind of the whole thing when you're talking to a client that wants to sell their property for a higher number than it's worth. Yeah, I know the market's different. I know the fact that it's a seller's market and not a buyer's market. But the fact is that no matter what, the cost, the buyers dictate the market, not the sellers.
And they're the one putting money in the pool.
Yeah, and the fact is their agent is the one that's saying, listen, you need to list your property at $500,000 because that's what it's worth. So I would recommend a little bit, just a little bit undervalue to put it on for $490,000. Because then, because of the lack of inventory and so on, the chances of you getting more money is going to be more likely. Now, by all means, I get that your bottom line is let's say $495,000 or whatever it is. The fact is that if you don't play a different type of game right now, you're not going to see the results that you could.
Who is you? Is it the seller?
Okay. I mean, I have this conversation multiple times with sellers, and it's like, well, Steve, the buyer is, or the, you know, the market is all about, you know, sellers centric, if you will. And I'm like, yeah, it's a seller's market. It's not a buyer's market right now. However, if you list that property too high, guess what? It's going to sit anyway, and I don't care what the property you have.
Yeah, some sellers have a skewed perspective on what it means to be in a seller's market. Mm-hmm. I think some sellers take that to mean I can do whatever the hell I want.
And a lot of people are doing that. You know,
sorry. And then you're having multiple people call you and saying you can't sell your property because you don't know what you're doing.
Or it comes through our doors, and then all of a sudden the clients back out of it because there's so much wrong with it.
Absolutely,
there are so many transactions that are being canceled. It's more than I've ever had in my practice. The percentage, I don't have the exact numbers, but
can you elaborate why they're canceling?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. You know, one big one is people are growing more and more wary of condominiums, financials, deferred maintenance. Joey, maybe you can speak on that as far as, you know, from the loan perspective, you know, both when the buyer is evaluating it themselves and saying, I don't think so. Or they get to the point with their lender where the lender goes, I don't think so. I'm seeing a lot more of that. You know, there's certainly, and you know, this happens just because there's, you know, the level of competence of various real estate brokers is all over the map. You know, you get someone who has something in the listing that's either missing or incorrect. So, for example, I'm missing one of the parcel pins. Right. That's not good because you're missing a tax bill. Mm-hmm. And now I find a second tax bill on the property and it's no longer affordable for the buyer. Likewise,
that's,
you know,
kind of a big deal.
It's a very big deal, especially if it's, you know, an extra $5,000 a year. Another example is, you know, we've got a 50-pound pet limit. And then, you know, 2 weeks into the deal, come to find out it's actually 25. And now your client with the 48-pound dog can no longer purchase the property and still keep their dog. But, you know, it's a lot of inspection stuff as well. You know, buyers are coming in, they're seeing all of the things the seller didn't do because they think, hey, it's a seller's market, I can do what I want. And they're going, nah, I'm taking my ball and go home. Because, you know, to your point, Steve, it's the buyer's money it's the lender's money that drives everything. But, you know, it's the buyer making the decision to borrow that money and be repaying. And they're looking also at, you know, X number of dollars that needs to be spent on the deferred maintenance the seller decided not to do because, hey, I'm selling and it's a seller's market.
Well, speaking of that, too, I mean, and Joey can contest to this, is that even if you get a higher number, you still have to worry about what, Joey?
Starts with an A.
Has a P in it.
The appraisal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So okay. That means that, well, it's so with A, he couldn't really see before that. So anyway, so dude, be nice. Yeah,
He's got a hurt finger.
I'm sorry, Joey.
Yeah. Smashed between some weights.
I thought it was his dancing.
It was so fat.
I thought it was his dancing ability to the party that we were at a month ago.
Crossfitting at the export, and you know, it got all out of hand.
I'm a freaking machine.
You were a machine, dude. It was awesome. It was awesome watching you. It was like, holy, that's a tall robot right there. Anyway.
Charlie's like, no, this is what I signed up for.
Seriously. So the appraisal part, if a seller, I have a situation where I have a property that it was an FHA buyer. It didn't appraise out. And now we, you know, 6 months, right? So FHA buyer's pointless because the fact is that it appraised for what it is and that's on record. So the issue there is if you price the property too high and you don't get a multiple offer, you don't get somebody who wants to waive the appraisal or give a gap in the appraisal, right? You may have that same issue. And sellers and agents who represent those sellers need to explain that to them when they sit down with them in the first place to say, I'm going to represent your property. Here's how this works. And I don't think they do. And a seller goes, well, I want to sell it at this price. And the agent's like, well, okay, fine, I'll just do it because I'll just drop the price six times.
Yeah, no, they're terrified they're not going to get that listing.
Right.
Charlie,
it's
just to...
ridiculous.
To kind of circle back in with you, though, you know, the conversation, you know, as it's evolved is talking about transactions that are falling apart and the frequency at which that's happening. Charlie, you've said before that you're seeing more and more issues come up in inspections. Is that still happening?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I just... recently sent a referral to, I'll put his name up there, Brett Simpson of Integrity Exteriors.
My guy.
That is one of, yeah that's one of the
we
people that are in our business group.
Mm-hmm.
And I value him, and I think, yeah, I like him. We'll leave it at that. I trust him, and I like him. But I had a house where they put on Hardy Board sheet goods up on there, but they didn't put any Z flashing. The flashing around the windows was there. Now, we didn't really have a lot of water coming in. At least not from above, and we also had broken gutters, which was bringing water into the attic. But my client, I mean, it was installed either by somebody who didn't care or somebody who didn't know. And this is bad. So now it's like, all right, how bad is it? How much is it going to cost to fix it? And I'm like, this even cost estimating that one is kind of out of my range. So I had mm-hmm. to refer it off to somebody else. But yeah, that we just had another house with termites. That was a flip, you know, and they
don't get me started on flips.
Instead of just going with, you know, replacing all the floor joists that were literally more than 50% eaten through, they just ended up putting a whole bunch of posts on the dirt and blocks just to hold the floors up there. And
no footers.
What's it?
No footers.
No footers, no pad footings, nothing. Just, you know, post holding everything up in there. And the clients were telling me that, yeah, it was kind of like a trampoline in there. And I'm like, okay, this is a no-brainer. I'm not going to tell you. It's against the law for home inspectors telling you not to buy it.
Bruh.
But realize this is going to be expensive. Your floor is moving. We got termite damage here. Whatever you decide to do, we need to get accurate pricing if you're going to take on this responsibility. But going back to you, Patrick, I think it's desperate. I think that's what's really happening with our buyers. And I feel sorry for them. I mm-hmm. really do. But they have such little leverage that they're becoming desperate and they're making
bad decisions.
Well,
that's also, and it goes back to the fact, sorry, give me one second.
No,
is the crucial aspect of having someone that is going to be patient, going to explain things to them,
yes.
to be able to obviously educate them.
Get it all out front.
Right. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I think that makes the huge difference right now, especially being an agent representing a client.
Charlie, you know, that light bulb just went off in my head after what you said, and you know, here's what the light bulb looked like. It was glass at a filament. So stupid. You know, you're right. The buyers are suffering from lack of leverage, meaning, you know. There are too often at this juncture, you know, where we're at in the market, a buyer, if we were on even footing, could get X, Y, and Z done through the seller, and it would make the deal happen. And on an even footing, the seller would say, okay, this is what I have to do to move this piece of real estate that I'm trying to sell. When the buyers don't have the ability to get X, Y, and Z done through the seller. What is their leverage? Their leverage is take the ball and go home, right?
They don't get the ball, though.
The ball is the ball
their
full
money.
Of money,
their
right?
Money, yeah.
So if I can't get the seller to, you know, to do a $1,500 credit because I am going to be absolutely skint once I put my money down at closing, I can't see my way clear to buying this real estate, so I'm not going to. And then, can they do? They can always walk. They can always, no matter buyer seller market, a buyer can always walk away.
They can always walk, and a seller can also say, I'm not going to sell. I get it. However, when you have a good inspector, such as Charlie's company, Charlie.
Hey, we got a plug.
Hey.
Highest rated inspection company in Chicagoland.
It's just like my favorite inspector. Just kidding.
He's
so,
top five.
No, top easily. You know, top ten at least.
I'm my favorite inspector.
So that was my train of thought. So when it comes down to that, it's so crucial to have someone to make sure of things. But you know, what's wrong with the house or what needs to be addressed or this, that, whatever. I still, yeah, okay, well, a seller would be silly, though, not to give some sort of credit that's reasonable based on what's going on, because he's still selling a large asset. So therefore, when a buyer is asking for something, as long as they're not nickel and diming, then it should be addressed. Now, yeah,
but there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to argue a little bit. There's a lot of stuff where falls into place. I think it's a children's book. You give a mouse a cookie and he's going to want a glass of milk. So a lot
what
of people.
What the hell does that mean?
What it means is that I'm not giving anything else because I know I got 20 buyers out there. And if you don't want to buy it, tough cookies, you know, beat it. Yeah, that's right. Wow. I merged them together.
That's terrible. Right?
It's
that
awesome.
Was horrible.
But anyway, you know where I'm going. You know, I feel like I'm empowered now that I don't have to do anything because I got, you know, all these other buyers out here.
Well, then, yeah, fine. Put your property back on the market. Then it's a vulnerable piece of property. And someone's going to be like, why did it go? Why did it not pass inspection? Because if you look in the property history, if you're a good agent, you're going to look in the property history of what's going on. And it'll say it came off, you know, 416 and it went back on 425. 520, 422, whatever it is.
Dead giveaway.
That's probably because of the inspection. So then the conversation is calling the agent, right? From an agent perspective, calling the other agent. But how about the buyer who saw it on Zillow and was like, well, why did it come off the market? Do you know how many clients reach out to me and like, hey, I really like this property, but I'm really concerned because it is contingent three times and it's been 187 days. What's wrong with the property?
I mean, I just had that same situation happen to one of my clients. You know, they ended up buying, you know, or signing a contract on the house, doing the home inspection. It did go through an inspection. It was canceled. I forgot exactly this house, what was the big issues, but it was big and it was expensive. And their agent, because that's the real key. I'm sorry, but most real estate agents are not good. And they're not going to do that. And their morals aren't bad. Yes, I am prejudiced against real estate agents. All right. Yet I know there's some good ones out there, too. All right. I'll concede that.
Where do I find one of those?
Right here.
I have no idea.
You know, me neither. But no, I do value you, Steve, because you're going to do that sort
love
of stuff. But honestly, this was another situation where that real estate agent just, you know, she found it out. At least that's what my clients think. And they kept it as a secret to them. And they just wanted them to buy it, hoping that the home inspector wouldn't find it. And I'll go out on another limb. Most home inspectors are a bunch of dummies as well. All right, with 60 hours. I'm out getting everybody. Patrick, you're next.
The president of the Home Inspector Association. Most of the people who
Joey,
are members of my association are dummies.
It's way too easy to get a license.
Terrible. No, it's true. And that's the thing. Like, that's why... the whole thing with doing our jobs, what makes us different than other people? And the fact is that when you do your job and you're passionate and you're good at what you do and you educate your client and you keep yourself educated.
Oh, this is the words of wisdom right here.
Well,
say it again.
I can't. I don't remember what I said. When you
educate,
when you educate your clients, when you're passionate about what you do, that was one other thing, but the point is, and you know what you're doing, and you're making sure your clients understand things and so on. That is what differentiates you from another person in your industry. And the biggest thing I think within my world is that anyone can get a license. Okay, anyone can get a license to be an attorney. Anyone can be a license to be a lender. Anyone can be an inspector. The fact is, you're good at it or you suck at it. If you suck at it, please get out of the business because you make us look bad, first of all. Second of all, you gave really bad advice to people. And third of all, it's a frustrating, this is supposed to be an exciting transition when you're buying a home. And if you don't have the right people on your side, then you're going to have a bad experience, which means that you're going to tell all your friends you had a bad experience. And then people are not, they're going to be worried and scared and so on. And that's not a way to go through this.
Not at all. Steve, how do they get a hold of you if somebody has any questions?
Well, if they want to call me, I don't know. It's Steve Davis. Steve Davis, Kamar Group. My number is 312-513-6314.
Say it one more time slower, please.
Sure.
Just in case somebody wants to write this down, because I know I do.
Sure. Steve Davis, the Kamar Group. My number is 312-513-6314. I am your residential realtor. extraordinaire.
Realtor.
Well, you do take good care of the clients, and we've had some mutual clients together. And I wish there were more real. There are more real estate agents like you. I know they exist, but it gives me hope. All right, because I've had too many years of frustration. Patrick, please.
I love working with home inspectors and realtors.
Oh, gosh.
My name is Patrick Loftus, and I'm a real estate lawyer. You can find me on social media. It's 2024, guys. You know, that's where, you know, hit me up in the DMs. Instagram, Loftus_law. Find me on TikTok because we just have a raucous rager of a time in the comment section at Loftus. Law. Learn all about the NAR settlement and why people are angry.
It is funny, though, and I really do get a kick out of reading all the comments. There's
hundreds
a lot of
angry people. Comments.
Yeah.
Every time I open up TikTok to that page, I'm just like, holy I don't cow. Even know what these, like, most of the angry comments, fortunately, are not directed at me. You know, I've grown accustomed to sort of sloughing that off. Yeah. I love reading the ones that TikTok like sequesters. They go, hey, we have an anti-bullying policy. Half of them are totally innocuous and half of them are like, boy, if you said that like to me, to my face, you could probably spend some time in jail for saying that. It's fun. We have fun.
Joey, sorry. Can you give us your contact info?
I sure can. So, Joey Matthews, the VA loan nerd, you could, find me at the VALoanNerd.com. Call or text me at the 630-235-2405. Find me on social medias as at the VA Loan Nerd.
Sounds good.
We have fun there too.
Amen to that. I'm getting beat up by my kid right now who's watching on here. He said I did 3 weeks in a row of inspector bashing. Ooh. If you could believe that one. So I apologize, but I guess, you know, sometimes I let my passion for what we do, you know, go overboard.
He's a passionate.
Well, this
man.
Is my first week of doing this.
Yeah,
technically, but I'll tell you what. In regards to bashing, I'm not trying to bash everyone.
Me neither.
But I am trying to say that there are. I have many agents that I work with that I do deals with that are fantastic. I love being in the same industry as them. They are great. They represent their clients the right way, and so on. And then there are the ones that don't. And it's the same thing, which is. You know, it's not about bashing them. It's just about, hey, please educate yourself more so you can be better for your clients.
Exactly.
Steve,
and
highest,
that's how I feel about our
highest
business
and best
as well.
By noon.
Highest and best by noon.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. we're car shopping right now, and I just can't wait to use that on all the car dealers. Highest and best by noon. My name is Charlie Belfontaine. I own Chicagoland Home Inspectors and also Home Inspection University of Illinois. The university site is www.huil.com, Home Inspection University, Illinois. And our website for our home inspection business is www.thehomeinspectors, that's plural, O-R-S, and it's also a .com. My phone number is 312-544-9180. If you press 3, that'll send you to my cell phone. We were talking again mostly about the value, but I really kind of like the education stuff. And man, how do you come about? I mean, Patrick, you don't see people until the contracts are signed. Joey, you see them early. You've probably seen the most part, including the real estate agents. I don't see the client or meet the client until after the contract is signed. So how do you prep somebody for the whole home buying process and what it is that they need to keep their eyes and open for? And yes, Steve, I'm coming to you on that. So what do you do? How do you prep them for that? I mean, do you have that pre-written, pre-done already?
Yeah, I mean, so it comes natural to me. But when I first started, and even with that, I mean, I think a checklist is important, right? So preempt them. First of all, say, hey, this is what you can expect when you're buying the house. These are the steps. This is how it works. So on. You know, there's that pitch. And then there's the pitch of selling. This is how you have to do this. This is what you need to prep to sell. This is what's going to happen here. This is how this earnest money is going to work. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you help somebody understand the leverage that they have in that particular market while they're house shopping?
What? One more time?
do you explain to a home buyer what potential leverage they have or don't have?
100%.
In that market.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it is different, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if they're buying, it's different. If they're selling, it's different.
Okay.
The fact is, if you give them...
But
the
neighborhoods are different too, right?
What's that?
Neighborhoods. I mean, the entire Chicagoland
sure,
area
but that, but
is not the same
I mean, what, be a little he's got to be a little careful when it comes to talking neighborhoods.
When we're talking about... No, it's fine. When we're talking about leverage, though, it's... The two main things we're talking about is buying and selling aspect.
All right.
And neighborhoods are very different in regards to what the value is considered there, based on space, location, layout, so on, right? So, but what I would get into is the fact of when you're working with a buyer, they can expect this. And what can they expect from you? And what can they expect from the attorney? What can they expect from the home inspector and the lender and the attorney? You know what I mean? So,
and knowing those people, knowing what they're going to do is important so you can explain.
Oh, man,
that.
I'm so picky on who I use.
You should be.
And I, because it's the same thing. Whoever I use reflects on me.
I'll tell you right now, only 5% of the real estate agents understand what you just said. All right?
That's terrible. I think you need to educate him more than Charlie.
I've said this more than once, and I'll say it again. You know, real estate is a team sport. You know, if you're putting together a good baseball team, right, and you just have 9 right fielders, it's not going to go that well, is it? Because, you know, you're missing key aspects of it. Yeah. But if you've got a good shortstop, a good center fielder, a good pitcher, a good catcher, you know.
You got a good team.
You know, there's 5 more, by the way.
Well, I mean, you know, there's not 9 people on the real estate team, but, you know. and so that is really another reason for you to be picky about who you're going to be recommending to your clients, because you want to have Pedro Martinez on the mound instead of, well, someone who's not as good as him.
You know, I want to ask Joey something. I just sent him a referral, and Joey, I apologize because I am sandbagging you right now. I didn't let you prepare for this. But I had a client who hired us to do a home inspection. It was a veteran. And the deal got canceled before we did the inspection. And the reason why it was canceled was because the loan officer said to the listing agent that we're not going to do a single thing until after the inspection happened. And I asked him to talk to you. Did you ever talk to that person?
I did. I also pointed them in the direction on a lot of things VA related that were outside of mortgage. It's just, you know, laziness on the part of the lender.
Well, how is it lazy? Why would somebody want to wait because
they're waiting to order the appraisal for the inspection? It's because they're trying not to get charged. Like, just order the frickin' appraisal, because at the end of the day, the inspection really doesn't matter. They essentially, in my eyes, the lender sabotaged the frickin' contract before it ever got through the attorney review period.
How is that a gray area? Like, how do they get away with that?
I mean, they do. They just do. So what?
They
do what they feel like what they feel like doing.
But the thing is, the lender tells that to the other side. The lender's like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to do anything. Don't do that."
That's the big thing, right?
Don't do that. Yeah,
look,
exactly.
If that's your strategy, first of all, you know, as a lender, you need to understand that you're working within the context of a contract. Okay, you're not standing alone there, and it's not, you know, you're not the center of the universe in the context of a real estate transaction. You're one of the planets, man. The sun is the client, and so it's the most important thing in the universe. I'm using lots of metaphors today.
It's coming in front of the sun real soon.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the eclipse, man. It's changed me.
Oh my God.
So, you know, just to give a little more context to this, so the way I understand this story is basically someone on the sales side reached out to the lender to just kind of find out what was going on. Hey, are you going to order the appraisal? What are you going to do? And the lender basically says, I'm not going to move a finger until you guys decide whether or not this is going to proceed past inspection. And that really upset the other side, because not only is that an unusual way to approach things as a lender, Joey, correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of the contract, you are required to, at least when we're talking about the 7.0, you're required to submit your loan application within 10 days of acceptance. Okay, so that's not optional. You don't get to say, well, I'm going to wait because I don't want to spend money on a application fee. I don't want to, you know, do this. I'm trying to make sure I'm not too, you know, bought into the pot that I can't walk. Now, fine, you know, as the lender, the lender doesn't want to do extra work for a deal that's going to fall apart. That lender's probably experiencing what I was talking about earlier, that these deals keep falling apart, and they're like, you know, I'm too busy, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you're going to act contrary to what's in the contract, at least don't blab out that, hey, I am, you know, basically in cahoots with the buyer to breach the contract this early on. I mean, the seller is just going to freak out when you give him that information. I mean, you know, do what you need to do. It's your business as that mortgage broker. But, you know, you've got to be smart enough to know that at best, that news will be received neutrally by the seller, in which case you got lucky. Most likely, that seller is going to hear that news and react poorly, and you didn't have to say that.
In a nutshell, how to explain this is just one word, which is integrity. Have integrity.
Well, and also the process. And Joey, if you don't mind, share. Like when you get a contract or, you know, so you know your clients just signed the deal, what is your process?
Oh, once I have it, I update any docs that I need to update, right? Obviously, anytime I'm issuing a pre-approval, I'll be like, hey, you didn't quit your job, did you? And the answer has never been yes.
Or buy a car or get a new credit card.
Right? So I do all those wonderful things. I get the contract. I immediately set up my loan origination system is already set up for that house, because anytime I do a pre-approval, I'm setting up the file prior to sending the pre-approval and running AU automated underwriting to make sure we're good to go. And then all I do is I have to trigger disclosures. They get their disclosures. We talk about why they look so high and they sign them. Oh my God. Trid is the worst thing that's ever happened. Anyway,
that's an exaggeration.
And then you make phone calls too.
They did cause a lot of problems when we first got it though.
But I know you reach out to the other players.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. I mean, if you're not, you're doing a disservice to your client.
Yeah, you're making it so your client's not going to get their offer accepted, which is...
And that's the point I'm trying to make. What you think is normal, Joey, I'm sorry to inform you, is not. All right? And that's why stuff like this happens. It should be normal. Everybody should make sure everyone's involved. We should all be trying to make our clients the most attractive when they're buying that property. You know, but it doesn't always happen. And that's the point I'm trying to make. When if somebody doesn't want to jump on and be part of the team, and I'm not saying lie, you know, manipulate them, none of that. It's just get everything out in the open. Tell the truth. Let them know what it is and how solid this is. You know, to me, I think it helps.
It's a waste of time if you don't do that. It's a waste of their time, a waste of your time, a waste of everyone's time in the transaction.
My sister's mother. That would be my mother too, wouldn't it? Sorry about that. But my sister-in-law's mother, you know, is how all that stuff came by. And whatever, it was a relationship with it, and I just couldn't believe that happened.
I mean, if you're Mormon, you're just your sister's mother.
Would you
might
behave?
Be a different...
We're not even going to let you subject.
Yeah, don't.
But no, Joey. Again, going back to what's normal and when people do things is one thing, but same thing, Patrick. I hear you say when you get an attorney who might be a family law attorney, and oh yeah, I'll do this real estate thing. It's no big deal. But there's a lot of nuances that if you don't understand the process and you don't communicate those correctly, all you're doing is inflaming everybody there. And then the emotions get out of hand and poof, the deal gets canceled. You know, the clients are harmed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, Steve, how much do you love when someone's like, oh, yeah, hey, I already got my lawyer, and you do a little quick Google and it's like, you know, they handle DUI. Or they handle divorce, or they handle, you know.
I will literally call the agent on the other side. I'm representing the cell. I would take it at this point.
Either way.
All right. Well, I'll literally call the other agent on the other side and say, listen, this attorney does not specialize in real estate, so you need to find another attorney.
Absolutely,
really? I will. Why not? The fact is, if they are not a real estate attorney, they're going to mess up the deal. I don't have time for that. My clients don't have time for that. And they deserve to have to have a shot of closing the deal. And if you don't have the right attorney on one side or the other, well, then that shouldn't be done. So one of the big things is being in the industry for 18 years and sales for 12. I know that when I saw that, see that other attorney on the other side, if I don't know them, I will Google them because it makes no sense not to. Do your homework.
You're talking to real estate agents right now?
Well, yeah.
Who's doing their homework?
Well, I'm talking about, yeah, definitely real estate agents. And right. I also
And clients.
Clients as well. Like, the fact is that some clients are like, oh, I'll use my brother's uncle. Well, okay, great. Well, that, oh, damn
your
it,
uncle.
I did it again. Damn it.
Unless you're Mormon.
So.
He had to get that in there, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
Now I know why Devin's mad at you for dissing the White Sox.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe you just did that.
No. We both dissed the White Sox together.
No, I didn't diss the White Sox.
We absolutely did. I mean, that's as fans of the White Sox.
I'm not a White Sox fan, but that's okay.
As fans of the White Sox, we both understand that they are a BS organization right now, and I was very close to
beyond success. I'm sure that's what it means.
Wow. Well, CX's success is beyond their capabilities, I can tell you that.
We can work with that. But no, getting back to you, right, doing your homework and stuff, and that's the biggest thing I try to focus on. And the whole reason why we try to scream in everybody's ear on Saturday mornings is, yeah, there's a lot to know about doing this stuff, and you can really harm a family. And it's not just that we're wasting people's times, but that's a very stressful routine when you're going through the whole home buying, home selling process. And the smoother you can make that whole thing, the better off I think it is for everyone.
Steve, absolutely.
I want to ask you a quick question. This is one of my pet peeves, so I want to ask you about it. When you, let's say you're on the list side and you receive an offer and, you know, they've got everything filled out. And then when it comes to the lawyer, they've listed the lawyer and the lawyer is, you know, janesmith@aol.com or sbcglobal.com or comcast.net or.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that? Do you view that positively, neutral, or is that negative for that buyer?
Are you saying my CompuServe email address shouldn't be used anymore?
I had one last year that was CompuServe. I am not kidding.
Well, Steve, I apologize. I mean, I've never really looked at that, to be honest. I have seen, you know, law, or I've seen their company, or I've seen their last name, or I've seen whatever. The AOL, the Hotmail, the cloud, iCloud, whatever. I mean,
see it so
that
often.
That really bothers you then, huh?
It displays, I think, you know, it's one signal that you're sending about, you know, your level of professionalism, in my
opinion.
Well,
I find it annoying when one of my pet peeves as far as contracts go is when they're sloppy.
Explain.
Oh, sure. No problem. So when you have
all the check marks,
all the check marks, but not just the check marks.
I've started.
How about the fact of when you have a price and then you scratch off that price with X's instead of deleting it or putting a line through it
and making it write contracts?
I mean, my client as of recent reached back out to me and she goes, can you have them write a different contract? And I'm like, I mean, we can, but the same, I mean, everything will be dealt with in attorney review. And as far as the sloppy contract goes, this is something that sometimes it occurs in our business. And she's like, well, I don't think this is very professional and so on. And I am selling her house. So it's like, well, that is a serious pet peeve of mine So fortunately, I have an ops team that takes care of everything now for me. But when I was without that, I had a heck of a time probably not doing it myself, because it was one of those where you're trying to get it done. And the fact is, it takes time and you want to get it done and you move on to the next one and so on. But if you're not putting the care and everything else into it and you don't look professional, then why would the agent on the other side want to deal with you? Or we deal with your client, because you know what I mean? It's that simple as far as that goes.
And you know, let me give an example of where the rubber meets the road here. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talk so often these days about multiple offer situations. Very often, it's my understanding that those multiple offers are often fairly close together. You know, trying to, you know, split those hairs as to, you know, this offer is, you know, two and a half grand more, but it's got a closing date I like better, or these folks, you know, have the same purchase price, but they're allowing us to do 2 weeks of post-close occupancy, whatever it is. If you've got two that are neck and neck, and you've got a sloppily written contract on the one side, or an agent that you know is a bit of a nightmare to deal with, or you haven't had good communication from them at all, maybe they're an unknown entity, but they haven't reached out. You've reached out to them, they haven't returned your call. The other one's going to win. So, you know.
Well, that and the fact, with that being said, is you call Joey and you say, hey, tell me a little bit about this buyer. You know, who are they? Oh, yeah. This, that, whatever. And then Joey will obviously be representing. Now, if Joey's any good, which I know he is, he's going to call the client, the agent, meaning me that's selling the house, and say, hey, my client, Billy Bob, just put an offer in for a property. I wanted to tell you about him, this, that, whatever. I'm Joey Matthews. I'm from, you know, the VALoanNerd.com or whatever.
VALoanNerd.com.
So, yeah, it's good. Yeah, sorry. So, but, you know, and whatever. I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to tell you about this client, so on. So that when he does that, he's representing that agent and that client.
Yes.
And I feel a lot more comfortable dealing with him than the guy from, you know, from a different type of lending situation, establishment that doesn't call and doesn't care.
Even right there, though, you said it. You have a real estate agent who took enough initiative and time and valued their reputation so much that they're going to go out there and find team members that are valuable in the process, not just anybody. All right, not just the cheapest person that comes in there. They're going to find somebody who just does it right and is there for the client. I couldn't agree more.
And by the way, this is why we're not going to see the death of the buyer's broker even after July.
Absolutely.
The buyer's brokers are still absolutely going to be involved. Anyone who thinks that that's not the case, you know, present your argument to me at Loftus Law on TikTok or TikTok, TikTok.
TikTok.
The TikTok on TikTok, the app that's apparently going to be going away soon. I don't know. Or find me on Instagram. I like giving away my personal information to Mark Zuckerberg as well as the Chinese Communist Party at Loftus_Law.
I don't even know what to say after this, Steve. So
there's
please give
say.
Us your contact information. We're closing out.
Sure. So Steve Davis at the Kamara Group, real estate. My number is 312-513-6314. You can find me on Instagram at I'm Steve Davis or on Facebook with Steven Davis.
And I've been seeing you on TikTok.
Yeah, I've been on TikTok too.
Yeah,
my we're stepping it up here.
Yeah, right.
By the time I get on there, it's gonna be gone.
Joey, give
Steve
us
Davis
your
killed TikTok.
Yes, sir. You can find me at the VALoanNerd.com. Find me across all the social medias as at the VALoanNerd. Feel free to call or text me at 630-235-2405.
I'm getting yelled at for not putting the romantic music on you right now.
At the VALoanNerd.com.
My name is Charlie Belfontaine. We own Chicagoland Home Inspectors. Our phone number is 312-544-9180. And I'm going to volunteer all these guys here. If you do have questions and you're looking at either buying or selling, reach out to them. They will help. All right? I can't believe it enough. Thank you, Devin Tingle, for making everything work so well. And we're sorry
Go White
that
Sox.
Patrick dissed the White Sox on you. My name is Charlie Belfontaine, and I am out.